It's episode 15 of season one of Generation One of the Transformers, and we're going to get some brand new robots. So let's get into it this time on Energon Entries. Welcome back to Energon Entries, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freights. I hope this finds you well. I want to thank you for supporting this podcast. If you're brand new, welcome, and let's get into the episode synopsis. The episode starts with the narrator describing the legend of Demon Swamp in Bali. The legend is unveiled to be large insect transformers whose search for food has led them to harass humans who come into their path. After attacking a set of boats, the insects catch wind of a farm nearby that will provide them with plentiful food. Optimus Prime and the Autobots go to investigate as they hear about these robot insects and attacks on the townspeople. Laserbeak intercepts the Autobots' plans, and Megatron takes a group of Decepticons to the swamp to investigate. They learn, after seeing an old Decepticon escape pod, that the robot insects are Decepticons who were marooned on Earth and adapted to insect form. Skyfire, Bumblebee, Brawn, and Windcharger encounter the Insecticons in the fields, while the other Autobots are delayed, having to drill under a parade blocking their path. The Insecticons battle the small group of Autobots who realize they are massively in over their heads. During the skirmish, the Insecticons reveal a suite of individual powers that render the Autobots trapped: shrapnel's grenades, kickbacks, powerful kicks, and the group's ability to create clones. The other Autobots arrive to save the group, but the Decepticons and Insecticons fly to the nearby oil refinery for its energy supply. While at the refinery, the Decepticons make Energon cubes while the Insecticons gorge themselves on an oil tanker, causing it to leak into the ocean. After Wheeljack repairs Skyfire, the Autobots arrive at the oil refiner to thwart the Decepticons' energy consumption. Shrapnel knocks Optimus Prime and some other Autobots into the oiled ocean as Thundercracker lights the oil on fire. As Ironhide douses the fire, a storm cloud forms and Shrapnel uses the lightning to become superpowered. The Autobots, realizing their rubber tires help absorb Shrapnel's electrical attacks, transform into vehicle mode to neutralize the attacks. Trailbreaker uses his force field to stop Shrapnel's use of the Insecticon clones. Realizing the end is near, Megatron sets the oil tanker on fire and pushes it toward the refinery. Optimus Prime saves the day by throwing the burning tanker into the ocean. The episode ends with the Insecticons turning on the Decepticons and the Autobots winning the day. So this episode starts by introducing new robots, and they're insect robots. And this, to me, seems like gotta sell some more toys. And it's funny that they exist in what is appropriately named Demon Swamp. It's also a little bit campy. And even the Insecticons, they don't know anything about the Autobots on Earth, but they too have punny jokes like hop to it for the grasshopper. I actually thought that that was great. I love a good pun. It's also funny that only one of the Insecticons repeats words at the ends of his sentences. And I think that comes with them trying to differentiate or make the Insecticons sound more like insects. It's almost like somebody sitting in a room that was trying to say, what would an insect sound like if he were in robot form? But apparently only one of them repeats himself. And it kind of reminds me, if you've ever seen that show, The Middle, where Brick will do that when he'll say, I'm going to sit on the couch. Couch. It almost kind of reminds me of that. And it did make me laugh. Although The Middle, of course, is predated by Transformers by a lot of years. And there's another inconsistency when it comes to Skyfire's size. I think I've mentioned this in previous episodes. But there are some times where he transforms and the robots can only fit in him as robots. And then there's other times where he'll transform and they can fit in him as a vehicle. And now he transforms into his full jet mode inside the Ark. Every time the Autobots are in the Ark, it seems like they are really cramped in there. And the proportions sometimes of the animation don't make sense. And Skyfire seems to be right in the middle of that. Another thing that I noticed is that Decepticons always seem to get to the scene of a crime or the scene of interest before the Autobots. And this is even in this episode with the Autobots flying in Skyfire, or a small tandem of them. I understand that the Autobots can't fly. We've been over that many times. But it seems like the Decepticons always are a step ahead of the Autobots, even when it seems like the Autobots have the upper hand. And that speaks to, again, I think, the Autobots not being able to fly, the Autobots maybe always being reactive. You kind of wonder if maybe they'll change their strategy at some point as we're heading toward the end of this season. One of the things I did like is when Megatron and the Decepticons get to Demon Swamp and they find this old escape pod, we get a little bit more Cybertronian history. And it's not something we get a whole lot of. We don't really know everything about where the Transformers have come from. But I like the idea that the origin story for the Insecticons is robots that were Cybertronian, escaped during the wars, ended up on Earth, and just like all the other Transformers that crash-landed in the Ark way back in the pilot, they transformed themselves into something that was nearby. And so obviously it was Bugs. And I think that that's actually a really great backstory for the Insecticons. The Autobots only being able to drive everywhere seems to hurt them more times than it doesn't. And it seems like in this particular case, when you come upon a parade, why not transform, walk over the parade, and get on with it? Instead, they end up having to drill under everything. It's kind of a ridiculous premise if you think about it. And that leaves the other Autobots with Skyfire being the first to the scene of the Insecticons. And what's ironic here is that Skyfire, even with his weird proportions, takes some of the smallest Autobots in Bumblebee, Brawn, and Windcharger with him. That, to me, seems like a really strange strategy. And again, you could question Optimus Prime's leadership in this regard. A weird animation quirk is Windcharger's mouth was moving, but Bumblebee's voice was used. And again, we don't see that all that often, but it happens. Usually, again, you get animation quirks, but it's very rare to have inconsistent voices. Sometimes it has happened. I think there's one time way back, maybe it's episode 4, when Megatron had Shockwave's voice when he was activating the space bridge. And that's something that doesn't happen too often. Sideswipe made me laugh out loud because he couldn't break through with his drills. Now, it's ridiculous that you're going to drill under a parade when it seems like, by the way, the townspeople weren't above you in terms of sea level. They're spending what feels like hours on this endeavor, and Optimus Prime just says, screw this, transforms, and blasts through the wall. I have driven a vehicle for a long time. I have definitely been in an accident or two in my lifetime. And what I can tell you, having never driven my car into a wall or a rock wall, Optimus Prime would be very, very hurt if he did that. I get that they're aliens. I get they're trying to tell us that they are more powerful than humans, but it seems like they had a lot of rock to go. And if he was able to bust through that easily, Sideswipe would have gotten there in a few minutes. So just something that's funny because not only are scales and proportions weird, but obviously Optimus Prime is OP here. The other thing that I talk about a lot on this podcast is consequences. And the village folks obviously thought the Insecticons were terrifying. You see a giant bug, and that's terrifying. And then all of a sudden, here come some other robots that they probably have never seen before or heard before. I don't know if the Transformers have gotten all the way down to Bali or not. And all of a sudden, there's all this gunfire. That probably scares the town folks even more. How do you know who's good? How do you know who's bad? And these are just some of the consequences that come with the Transformers that just don't get talked about. Always a lot of puns in here. There's bug puns. It's just part of the charm of the show. There's insects. It's going to happen. It's just I have to point them out. And then, of course, now we have Wheeljack, who's able to fly into the sky just a little bit. It's like, can the Autobots fly? Can't they fly? And if they can, why don't they fly literally everywhere? Inconsistency here too. Not sure what is in bounds for their powers or out of bounds for their powers, but it seems like whenever they have to fly right just now, they can. It's just a weird thing. There's a weird scene where Optimus Prime transforms to truck mode, and then in the next cut, he's a robot. And it's just kind of weird, these animation quirks. The QC is not very good. And as I was watching this episode, I also realized it, but Brawn reminds me, if you've ever watched He-Man, he reminds me of Man-at-Arms, like the shape of his head. And both of those cartoons obviously came out around the same time and were in their heyday around the same time. And I don't know if the same animation studios are doing it, but it seems like there's a little bit of symmetry between those two characters. I also love that Megatron is chilling at the oil refinery as all this stuff is happening, like some 50s bad boy. He's just sort of leaning there. And his fusion cannon is off, and he just kind of has this really cool look. And really, he's just missing a cigarette to complete this look. Like, if he had greased back hair, a leather jacket, and a cigarette, he would be so perfect. And I ask, when he takes off his fusion cannon, because the way that he looks so relaxed and the fusion cannon not being there, is this equivalent for humans of like taking your shoes off after a long day or something akin to that? It seems like he was very relaxed, very chill. And we don't see that too often from Megatron. So obviously he felt very comfortable with where things were. The Insecticons, though, they're like hummingbirds. They constantly need to feed. And I understand that the robots here, and talking about the Transformers, obviously need a lot of energon and they're constantly searching for energy. But the Insecticons seem like they need to be feeding constantly and they need a ton of energy even just to survive. And again, I know that the Transformers need a lot of energon and that's what they're searching for, but it seems like there's something a little bit weird about the Insecticons that they constantly have to be eating. I feel like this is the third or fourth time now where the Autobots have found themselves in a situation that has turned into a massive fire. And I don't know how they keep finding themselves in these situations, but it does seem like this is something that kind of follows them. But this is another situation where some new robot has some new power and it's always the most powerful in its first appearance. And it's like shrapnel's out there, the lightning is here, he gets struck by lightning, and now all of a sudden he is like the most overpowered thing. But I love that basic physics trumps this whole thing. There's lightning power, and it's like, hey, wait a minute, there's rubber. If we transform, we can actually negate this. And this is the Autobots getting a little bit smarter, a little bit quicker, and that's something that we're not used to seeing. To me, when I look at this episode, the biggest difference between the Autobots and the Decepticons is loyalty. All the Insecticons want is energy, and that's all that they're really looking for. And they will turn on Megatron at will in order to get that. And the same thing with Megatron. If he thinks that the Insecticons are not going to get him to where he wants to go, he will drop them like a bad habit. The Autobots, on the other hand, are always welcome, and they're always welcoming in the new crop. It doesn't matter how long they've been there or how little they've been there. They're going to welcome the good people with open arms. And I think that that is something that stands out to me about the Autobots, is they're always loyal and they will save one another when they can. The Autobots still have the same core outside of the Dinobots, and the Decepticons seem to be growing, and maybe it's time for a little bit of new blood. So we're getting three new Insecticons, same core of Autobots. The Dinobots show up periodically here, so maybe it's time for the Autobots to find out if there are some new blood out there in the universe. And Spike making a comment about waiting until he is old enough to drive, but yet he works on an oil rig, and it's like, is that child labor? Seems like it might be child labor. We're not really sure how old Spike is, because based off of how he looks and how he works, it seems like he would be older than 18, but he's not old enough to drive. So that kind of sits him in that 13, 14, 15 category. I don't know. That just seems a little bit odd to me. I did like this episode for one reason. I loved it for the backstory of the Insecticons and how they came from Cybertron and properly assimilated to Earth. The rest of the episode, it was just like every other Transformers episode, with another fire, another situation where Megatron retreats when things don't go his way, another situation where the Autobots are ill-prepared. Not saying it's bad, but the backstory definitely saved this episode, and I am intrigued to see how the Insecticons work into not only the rest of this season, but the rest of the Generation 1 series. What did you think of this episode? If you've watched it recently, let me know. Email me, mattyicemedia@gmail.com, with questions, comments, concerns, whatever it is about this show, or if you want to hear something in the future from me. I appreciate everybody taking out the time this time. I appreciate all the support. Hope this finds you well and safe, and I'll talk to you next time. This is Energon Entries. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Energon Entries are those of Matt Freites and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Energon Entries is exclusively owned by Matt Freites and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.